Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 19 of True Believers. This week, Chris and I watched Batman The Long Halloween Part 1 and 2.
The Long Halloween is a two-part animated film based on a 13-issue comic series of the same name, in which Gotham City's mob, honestly, is being plagued by the Holiday Killer, who is a killer who, for some reason, puts a baby nipple a baby bottle nipple on a gun and shoot people, and it only happens on holidays. It's the dumbest shit ever. The one good thing about it is that it's dedicated to late actress Naya Rivera, because this was her last role before her passing in 2020, and she absolutely ate up and down. The one thing is the cast. That's the one good thing. The cast, they did really good. I wasn't sure how I feel about Jensen Ackles as Batman. I still prefer Kevin Conroy. You know, if I'm gonna hear Batman, I want to hear Batman, you know, but he didn't do a bad job. Like, everybody, they were eating.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, normally I am someone who will try to find the good in a lot of movies, but this one, I don't know anything good about this movie, honestly. Oh, you know what? Casting again, because they even had, what's his name? Who played the Joker? Troy Baker came back as the Joker, and he's a really good Joker. So, you know, that one was good. But Joker was only in it for
2 seconds. Very limited. These movies have so much going on. There is so much. There are 70 billion. At one point in the last movie, there's a breakout of Arkham. Everybody gets broke out but Calendar Man. And Calendar Man is the only person who is demanding to be let out, because they go to Calendar Man first. Jim Gordon, Harvey Dent, Batman. I was going to say Bruce Man, but that's not correct.
Not the Bruce Man.
That's a real guy.
Yeah, it's a real guy. That was a good part, though. I did like how everybody was like working together as a team instead of just Batman trying to be, you know, just Batman, the solo detective. You know, they were trying to figure this out together.
What I think is so funny is that they're always like trying to push the whole Batman works alone thing. Batman always works in a team. Like, and I don't like even these, because Batman literally teams up with Gordon and Dent, and then when he's not teamed up with them, he's teamed up with Catwoman.
He didn't even want to be teamed up with Catwoman. She just kept showing up, and she's like, "You need me," and he's like, "No, I don't." And then I was like, "No, you kind of need her." She saved his life like 17 times throughout these movies.
Literally, Scarecrow threw some fear gas on him in the second movie, and she was like, "Bruce," and he was like, "Mother," and then I was like, "Ugh."
Yeah. Okay. So the first movie, that was so weird. He kept calling her mother as she dragged him home. Right. But no, the first movie, they spend like this entire, because it's almost 2 hours, the entire 2 hours just trying to like play a cat and mouse game of like, who's the holiday killer? And the whole time, it's very, very, very obvious that this is Harvey Dent. Like, it's so painfully obvious.
But it wasn't. That was the thing.
They still arrested him at the end, and they just let it. I mean, towards the end of the second movie, you figure out that it's not really Harvey, but they still leave Harvey in jail, like letting him take all the blame for this, even though it wasn't him.
Is this bitch named Gilda? And then I looked up the comic book series to figure out exactly what the difference was between the series and the movies. And I really think this could have been executed a lot better. I think it would have been a really, really good limited series, maybe 25 to 30 minute episodes, maybe about 5 or 6. They could have wrapped everything up really nicely if they put more work into this, because apparently in the comic book series, Gilda is the killer the whole time, but it has nothing to do with the, she is just trying to help Harvey. Because of all the crime and the gang wars in Gotham, they don't have a lot of time to spend together, and she loves him, which maybe she does in the movies. I don't know. Time they spend on Gilda Dent, it looks like she looks like somebody who's been beaten, honestly. Like when people like are cowed because they're being abused, that's what she looks like the whole time. She's like not timid, but she's quiet. And I was like, damn, what does Harvey do to you? Like,
she was very reserved. And whenever she asked for a divorce at one point in the second movie or something like that. I don't really remember. Okay, so the pacing of this movie was very slow, everybody. Like, it was so slow. So it was really hard for me to focus on this movie, both of them. But I'm pretty sure she asked for a divorce in the second one, right?
I don't think she asked for one, but she's like, we should just get a divorce, because he was like, no, we in this. And I was like, you're toxic, Harvey. Oh, also, Harvey is Josh Duhamel. So it kind of really threw me off. Mm. I wasn't expecting that when I listened to his voice. It kind of, no offense to Josh, he didn't do a bad job or anything. He wouldn't have been my choice because every time I heard his voice, it took me out of my immersion. I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's not that he was a bad Harvey Dent. It's just I can only hear Josh Duhamel whenever Josh Duhamel speaks. So every time he's talked, I was like, oh, there's really famous actor and also Fergie's ex-husband, you know?
I'm not sure calling him Mr. Fergie, but I kind of did the same thing, Mr. though, because Fergalicious. I really like Billy Burke. So, but every time I hear his voice, I laugh. And he was Commissioner Gordon. So I was just thinking about dumb stuff from Twilight, but like in a nice way though, because I don't know. Every time I hear him, it just makes me laugh. I was like, ah, you.
Yeah, he really didn't do a bad job. Like, I don't want anyone to think that. It's just I can't hear anything else.
Like the
else
cast was a positive. It really yeah. Like this was a really good cast, especially. I'm going to give it to the most random person. John DiMaggio as the Mad Hatter had me giggling. I don't even like the Mad Hatter. He creeps me out.
These movies were so convoluted. Just think of every Batman villain you can think of, and they were in these two movies, except
the Riddler. Don't even give them that credit, because the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, has every single Batman. And that shit is executed so amazingly. Like, they all just break out of Arkham, and they start naming people. And yeah. Like, we, at this point, should have just watched the Lego Batman movie.
Maybe we should, because everyone always tells me that one's like the best top tier Batman movie.
Have you never seen the Lego
it.
Batman?
No,
movie?
I've never seen it. So maybe we should, because we can come back
like
to
not
that, but
even me giving the movie credit, knowing that I hate everything.
Yeah.
No, there's this scene where like Batman he's not part of the Justice League, right? Or he is. Well, he's kind of an asshole. And he's like, I work alone. And he's like committed to being a big asshole. And I don't remember who plays Superman, but it's somebody off the wall, like Channing Tatum. He makes his way out to Superman's Fortress of Solitude to ask him for help or for something. And the whole Justice League, when I tell you, they in there boogieing down, having a party. And they're like, ooh, like when I tell you they freeze in place because they're Legos, and they're like, hey, Batman. That is the thing. You
That's
will
kind
be
of hilarious.
Crying. This no. movie, like, there were no moments where I was laughing, except for when they went to go see. I was like, well, they were like, we need to talk to him after the first holiday killing in the Long Halloween Part One. And I was like, who the hell is him? And then they show Arkham, and they don't even show you his face. They just, you see all these pages on the wall of, like, different dates. And I was like, not the Calendar Man.
Calendar Man is such a weird choice, but he really fit this movie, honestly. He was, like, the glue to this whole movie. If anybody was, it was definitely Calendar. And his voice was so funny. And it was so perfect. Oh,
it was that guy who played the Polka Dot Man in the Suicide Squad.
David Dast... Oh, I don't know how to say his last name. We'll come back to that.
I don't know.
No,
either, but
one positive about this movie was truly, like, the Scarecrow. Like, this is the Scarecrow that I actually like. I don't like these other adaptations they try to make of him. I really liked this Scarecrow. He was riding on a horse. He wore that terrifying outfit, you know? Like, this is the one that I like. So I was happy to see him instead of, like, you know, the Dark Knight one.
I don't know. I don't like the Dark Knight movies. Yeah, I just think they're joyless. So I don't really remember them well, except for the parts that I thought were funny. Like, you think that darkness is your Allah?
No, you know what? That's not fair. I think the Scarecrow was actually really terrifying in the Dark Knight. Yes. The Scarecrow is terrifying, right? Like, don't you use fear as a weapon?
To anybody but me. Like, the things that I'm afraid of can't be conceptualized.
Dude, that makes it even scarier, because the fear gas conceptualizes even the weirdest things, right? Can you imagine? No, I don't want to imagine. That's what makes him so scary to me. But no, that was a positive. That's a good thing about this movie.
You know what the weirdest fear I think is? Like, people got that fear of holes. So like...
Oh God, that creeps me out. Like, those pictures you see of it. Oh my God. Where they have like holes in faces and like, oh.
I just want to know, like, why are people always trying to like trigger that fear in people? It's one of those things I just think is gross. It's like how people are scared of clowns, but I just think they're annoying.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
afraid of it.
Imagine getting fear gas and you see that shit. I would die.
I would want to die. That is the worst thing I've ever heard. Like, oh God, they just make me uncomfortable. It doesn't even, they're not scary. It's uncomfortable, but shit.
So Calendar Man is like, he's giving all these Master Yoda ass clues to like, he's like the holiday killer. If you want me to help you, I'm gonna need to walk out of here. And they're like, hell no, because you're a menace to society, Calendar Man. You don't get to walk free.
Which is so funny, because everybody else gets free, but not Calendar. Like, comparatively, Calendar Man is not the most menacing next to like the Joker, or even they even had Poison Ivy in this one. And you know, I didn't like what they did with Poison Ivy personally.
Next to the Mad Hatter. The Mad Hatter is scary. And the fact that the Joker escaped first, and they don't even dedicate a part of the movie. Like he escapes in the first movie. They discover he's missing because they think that he's the holiday killer at first, and he's not. He just breaks into Harvey Dent's house to like scare him. But there's no hunt for the Joker. Nobody's looking for him. And I'm like, this motherfucker is dangerous. So that should have been the priority.
Because at least, you know, the holiday killer is only going to kill on holidays. You know, like you got a few breaks before
you find him. The Joker might blow up the children's hospital on Tuesday.
Just for fun. You know, he's like, what should we do today? Fuck them kids. And then that's it.
He'd be the FTK killer.
You know what else? Okay, here's another good thing about this movie. My mind just blinked on what her name was, but Falcone's daughter.
Oh, Miss Sophia Falcone. Yes. She ate down.
She never shows up in any. I was actually really excited to see her. I'm not going to lie. She did that so good. She's
like, they were going for the Falcones versus the Maronis. Like, so I thought this was going to be purely like a mob thing. And I was excited because I feel like people give Batman too much credit for how horrible Gotham City is. Because they're like, oh, there were never any like criminals until this guy started dressing up as a bat. And there were. They have like major crime families in Gotham City.
The Black Mask was around forever. Like, ever since literally, like Bruce was a kid, I think, right? Like he's been around a minute.
I don't know if since he was a kid, but certainly a while. And they had plenty of time to like the police. First of all, the police in Gotham City suck. You could not pay me to be a Gotham City police officer. You couldn't. Well, clearly they can be paid because a lot of them are dirty.
I was about to say that. I was like, no, they're definitely getting paid some money to be a cop there.
The only one who's not getting paid is Renee Montoya.
And Gordon.
Jim Gordon. That's it.
That's it. Maybe Harvey Dent until he became Two-Face. Wait, no, he wasn't a fucking cop. He was a fucking DA. My bad. What the fuck?
Yeah, was fine. I was like, what cop? He was fine.
He's fine. He's doing fine. We're not worried about him.
You know, the only trustworthy Harvey Dent who wasn't scary was Billy Dee Williams. And that's it.
Who played Harvey Dent in this one? Because he also did a good.
It was.
No. Never mind.
It was Josh Duhamel.
Yeah. I was like, never mind. He did do a good job. But then I was like, he wait, we just job, talked about
like
that.
Every time he spoke, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh I would get Duhamel. Transformers flashbacks. But
oh my God, I forgot he was in that.
No, I'm obsessed with those movies. I feel like Megan Fox should have been the star of Transformers. I feel like she would have been a better, like, no shade to everybody else. But I feel like, I don't know. We love to see high girls do high girl things. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we've seen that she can lead a movie by herself. So it could have just been her.
Yeah. Side note on that. I'm happy she's coming back and making all these movies again because she really deserves it.
She does. I just hate to see her with, I don't have a problem with her and MGK's relationship. I hate knowing, like, I feel like the City Girls are down 10,000 having read her interview where she's like, you're my heir and we are fire. And I was like, oh no.
It's uncomfortable to watch. It's like, you know, those really gross couples in high school who would make out in the hallway all disgusting. That's exactly what they feel like.
The emo ones who would like press their foreheads together and they would like kiss the air next to each other's cheeks. I hate emo love the most. And I was like, oh, that's what we're about to get.
So let's see. What happened in the first movie? That ended with plot. Them. Yeah, they make you believe that it's Falcone's son that's the holiday killer. And low-key, for a second, it had me going at the beginning. I was like, okay, he could be the holiday killer. Like, he's crazy.
He was perfectly sane. He was like, I'm tired of this family. They end up on this yacht party. And, oh my God, this was the dirtiest shit I'd ever seen in my life. Before this yacht party, they have, like, a gala. And Don Falcone, I mean, Mr. Falcone, you know, because he's pretending like he ain't a mobster. Yeah, so Mr. Falcone he's having a whole party. And he's like, you know, I want to bring up to the stage somebody I've already always respected, somebody, you know, we've had our differences, but he's always been like a son to me. The thing that was so crazy is he has a son. His son was on the stage behind him. His son got ready to walk forward, like put his foot down. When I tell you, he said, Bruce Wayne, I was like, I was sick.
Yeah, that was fucked up. But he did it because he's trying to get all of Bruce's like money and businesses and stuff, you know, which I get that because Bruce has too much money. Like, for someone who barely runs his company, how does he have so much money? Like, you know,
he doesn't barely run the company. It gets ran. He just doesn't run it, which I respect.
By other people.
Lucius Fox got that.
You know what? If I was also, Lucius, I would have been like, I need a much bigger race to run your company for you while you dress up as the bats. I'm Lucius just saying. Fox
also makes Batman's technology. Like he's in the he's gang. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I would have blackmailed the fuck out of Bruce. I would have been like, bro, I know what you've been doing at the nighttime. You know Lucius wasn't making a big chunk of that billions and billions. He was probably making like a good half a milli. I would have been like, nah. I need more than that.
For the amount of work that Lucius Fox had to do, he's definitely making the big bucks. I don't want you to sleep on my man, because there is no way.
I'm not sleeping on him. I think Bruce is out of touch with what money is. So he's probably like, you know how rich people don't know what being poor is really like? So they're like, $10 is enough money to buy a meal. You know what I mean?
No. I think you're underestimating the situation, because Lucius is not stupid. And Bruce, he's out of touch, I'm sure, in the way that all rich people are. Because this motherfucker, have you ever seen him eat a burger in comic books?
No, I don't think I ever have seen Bruce eat a hamburger.
Oh my God. He ate a burger with a fork and a knife. And they were like, is he serious? And I don't remember which son it was, but they were like, yeah, he was literally raised by an English butler. Why are we shocked?
Yeah, see, I don't think Bruce knows what money is. That's why I think he would underpay somebody. No, I think
he's very aware of money, because he lives in a city that's a pit filled with poverty. But I don't think he would underpay his employees at all. I just think that he is out of touch with the common people. He's very aware about, you know.
I disagree.
Patrols
completely
around Gotham City. What about him says that he doesn't know about money?
The fact that he's a billionaire and billionaires don't know anything about what money actually is. But I will say, though, I think Alfred would know, and Alfred would probably set some things right.
Why would you think that?
Alfred? Because Alfred.
I just want to know what about Alfred says. Like, this man is a butler who has been exclusively raising a billionaire since he was like 10. What about?
But Alfred's not a shitty person who actually does deal with society. Bruce only deals with like millionaires unless he's beating up the poor.
Alfred had millions of dollars. Like, he just left Dick a grip.
Well, like I was saying, unless Bruce only beats up the poor, that's the only really interaction he has with them. But
he
I think
beats
Alfred
up the rich
would,
too.
True,
but the worst villains in Gotham City have oodles of money.
I'm just saying, I don't think Bruce is in touch with. I don't think so at all. But I also just have a vendetta against rich people, because rich people are the worst people. But
I'm sorry, but I just want you to know, Alfred is not the anti-capitalist king you think he is. When I tell you I was reading this, like, because I was reading, I was like, oh, he left Dick some money. And I was like, well, how much money? And I was like, dang, Dick then gave up all Dick's stupid. He gave up all his money. He's talking about, we're going to start a foundation. I was like, yeah, but you need to keep some of the money. Like, I understand, you know, I don't think it's ethical to have a bunch of money like that, but I think you should keep some of it. You ain't got no nest egg. You ain't got no savings. You know what I'm saying?
Do you even need a savings if you're kind of like Bruce's kid, you know? Like,
Bruce lost all his money, apparently.
Oh, that's true. I forgot all about that. I haven't been reading the current storyline with Batman. But anyways. We went really off track right there. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you guys. You get to the set. Like, okay, so once you figure out that young Falcone is not the holiday killer, because they go to this yacht party and he gets shot by the holiday killer while they're literally Batman and Catwoman literally have him on the deck of this boat, and they're like, you're the holiday killer. And he starts having a good old laugh. He's like, are you serious? There's no way I would try and eliminate my father's enemies. I hate this family. My dad sucks. And like, he just started clowning, because he was like, nope. And then he gets shot by the holiday killer and he like falls in the water. I was like,
yeah. And then that's kind of how that movie ends, and it goes into the next one, which I did like the second one more. I think the first one was just so slow, this pacing was, so I could not focus on anything. But the second one, though, it had so many villains, which I mean it kind of came full circle at the end, but I was sitting there like, what is everybody doing in this movie?
That was the part that I didn't like. It was really, really busy as a movie. Like, it had so many threads. That's why I think it would have made a better miniseries than it did. Who has the audacity? Only in the aftermath of Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame will anybody have the audacity to make a damn two-part, two-hour-long movie. Like, they need to be ashamed of having done that.
Yeah, no, I agree. This could have been a good 13 episodes or so, you know. Well, 13? Yeah, look at that. There's 13 series. Yeah, I think we could have done 13.
13 comic minutes. Books versus 13.
They could have.
It did not need to be.
Well,
I would
also
say at the most 10.
I would have actually read the comic books, but then I was like, maybe not. After that first movie, I was like,
I was like, no.
I wanted to read them. I was like, let me do the comparison to see what's the difference. And I was like, actually, let me not. But no, the second one I did like better because it was, at least we had like a lot of interesting villains. It starts off with Poison Ivy, even though I didn't like this portrayal of Poison Ivy personally. She's still an interesting character. She's still one of my favorites. You know what I mean? So just not seeing her really, is always kind
of
cool.
It wasn't even like, we didn't even really get a lot of Poison Ivy. It was just like, she's mind controlling Bruce. It wasn't her acting her own interest. You find out she's working for Don Falcone so that he will.
Yeah, I was about to say What is the.
So Bruce will give him some money.
What in the world makes you think that that Poison Ivy is going to work Pamela. For Falcone? Yeah, Pamela Isley. What
money?
She don't need money. She's happy with her plants. She could rob a bank if anybody can.
I know. First you say Bruce Wayne, you say Alfred is our anti-capitalist king. Then you say Poison Ivy doesn't need money. She has plants.
Yeah, Poison Ivy's not one of those ones that needs money to be happy. She needs sex, love, and rock and roll, and that's about it. And her plants. But no, it is. I still feel, I like seeing her, even if I didn't like this portrayal of her. I thought she was still like, hey, it's Poison Ivy. Like, yay. You know what? I don't know. I like seeing her.
I felt like that was a waste of Poison Ivy's time. I was like, why is she here? What is she here for? That don't even make sense. Like, and it was like the fact that she was working for Falcone. I was like, there was nothing that was offered. Like, it would make sense if she did this. Like, if Falcone was like, oh, we'll do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was a tit for tat. But I was like, for cash. That don't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that she did this entire thing, because it comes back to the end and like, there's a whole group against Falcone. And Poison Ivy's a part of that group against Falcone. And I was like, I get that she probably has a vendetta against him, but they don't even explain what it is, do they? Like, we have no lead onto why everybody hates Falcone.
So I just was like, it doesn't make sense. And then, they bring Solomon Grundy into this. And I was like, you need to let that dead body rest. Because I was like, it got to a point where I was just like, the plot can't be explained because there are so many different plot threads that they do get resolved and that there's a callback to everything at the end, but it's not satisfactory. It's just it was long and boring. And I actually looked up The Long Halloween to see what the differences was. Like I said, apparently The Long Halloween influenced the Dark Knight trilogy. So it's funny that you would bring them up.
Really?
It came out like 1996 and 97. So like 25 years ago.
I did not know that. I did not know that at all. That makes sense, kind of, thinking about it, because you know how many villains are in the Dark Knight series, too?
I don't know. I feel like I could have made a better trilogy of Batman movies than Christopher Nolan. But I also think that I could have made Inception. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I just love saying stuff like that to see what your reaction would be. No, honestly, it seems like it's probably interesting. And it has two sequels, the comics. They got Batman, I think Dark Victory and Catwoman, When in Rome, which is cool. And they apparently had Batman Halloween specials in the mid, late 90s. And this is like a sequel to the Batman Halloween. This sounds ridiculous. Does this sound ridiculous to you? It had sequels to the Batman Halloween specials because I don't know.
I don't know either. Like you said, it was just a lot of intertwining stories that didn't really have any, because we don't see what happens to Solomon Grundy's character or Pamela Poison Ivy or even Selina Kyle, really.
So we just assume that they go to jail. Well, we do see Selina Kyle at the end because the whole reason Selina Kyle is there, first, Batman knows that she's Catwoman. She knows that he's Batman. They're on and off dating. That's why she's there on the yacht. Well, she's there on the yacht because she wants to get close to Don Falcone because apparently he's her father. She doesn't know who her mother is. So she's like stalking him essentially to try and work up the courage to get the answer. Mm-hmm. And this movie becomes really interesting in like the last 16 or so minutes.
Yeah.
And not once before then, because it starts with Batman talking to Don Falcone. And first everybody's getting killed. Like, it's like one holiday is going to be the Maronis. One holiday is going to be the Falcones. Maronis, Falcones, Maronis, Falcones. Like back to back to back to back. They're all getting taken out. And then we're also seeing the slow mental descent of Harvey Dent.
Oh my god,
he's becoming two ways, because at one point his subconscious was literally screaming, whispering, "Murder!"
Dude, the voice that he did for Evil Heart or Evil Dent, like, that was something. It felt much like the Dark Knight too, when he just speaks in the raspy voice. You know what I mean? He's like, that was not good.
Yeah, it just I couldn't take it. And the thing that's so, like, the parts that were interesting in this movie were, like, not the supervillain parts, the superhero supervillain parts. It was all the, like, the just around the city parts. Like, Harvey Dent is building a case against Don Falcone. He finds a whistleblower, and somebody throws acid on him, and that's how his face gets, like, somehow he survives, because when I tell you, that face was fucked up.
Yeah, I actually disagree. I was going to say that the villains, I think, would have made a more interesting story. If we got to see what, like, Mad Hatter was doing and Scarecrow were doing when they teamed up, like, I want to see what they were up to rather
than... No, I'm saying that's the part that was uninteresting, just because they just show up. Like, so it was the most effective use of the time in the movie was showing what else was going on in Gotham City. Like, when we were seeing little bits of the Maronis and the Falcone's everyday lives, like how Sophia doesn't feel respected by her father. She wants to be brought into the family more. And he's like, no, because if I bring you in as my successor, like, I'm going to look old and weak. And then he was like, go buy something big and flashy, so everybody knows we still have money. I was like, damn.
Respect, really, first of all. No, I like also, that part, because we're seeing what's happening with the Maronis, you know, like, that's interesting. Like, that's what would have made this a better series rather than two really long movies, is, like, if we would have seen what was happening with everybody instead of, like, okay, they broke out of jail, they attacked Bruce. I know you made
a flashback, but if we had seen what happened in the past that started the feud, like, we don't even know why these people are beefing. They just are.
Yeah, no, this would have been an effective use of a flashback, actually. I will agree. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, this is why it would have made a better series.
And then Catwoman needed a flashback something. Too. Because she's like, my mother, I've never met her. Like, that would have been a good flashback moment. Like in Meet the Robinsons, where that lady like puts the baby on the doorstep and, like, slips and falls and rings the doorbell and then Angela Bassett comes out.
Yeah, they could have done a lot of this differently. And I think it would have made it two better movies or series, like you said. But yeah, but I do like that they had all the villains. I just wish we got to see what was happening with the villains, because you see him once and then at the end,
because he has been free this entire time.
Yeah, what was he doing? Do you think he was just like, I don't know if he had Harley at this point actually, but what was he doing? Yeah, is he just sitting in the little factory, like, you know what I'm gonna do next? I'm gonna steal a plane and drop gas on everybody.
Oh, not him wanting to, he wants to be Jack Nicholson so bad.
Well, that's what he did. Remember at the end of the first one or second one beginning? I don't know. He did it at one point.
I think it was in the, listen, all the events kind of blend together. It's basically one long movie, so it doesn't matter. But I was just like, you want to be Jack Nicholson so bad.
I don't know. We were really excited for this movie too, just because of the cast. We were like, this is such a good cast. And it was. It's just,
they were not used effectively.
Yeah, it was just too much going on in two movies. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
The last 16 minutes of the second movie were the most interesting parts, because Batman is talking to Don Falcone, and Don Falcone is like, do you know what my people have called this last year? The Long Halloween. Oh my God. I had been wondering why it was called The Long Halloween the whole time. I get mad when they don't say the title. If the title is weird in a movie, I get mad when they don't say it. And also, I have that expectation from years of watching Scandal, because Scandal used to, like, have the most off the wall. Like, you would never know what the title was going to come, where it was coming in, what it could possibly mean. And then somebody would say it and be like, yup. And we said that. And I was like, when he said The Long Halloween, it was juicy. He was like, do you know what my people called this last year? The Long Halloween. I was like, period, Don Falcone.
That part was pretty dope, I'm not going to lie, because the first murder happened on Halloween. So that two movies take place over 1 year, and then he's like, so many of my family have died, blah blah blah, we call it the Long Halloween. And I was like, damn, because it was, like, Halloween again.
His sister got brutally murdered, like, his son,
first of all. Yeah, and then, like, everybody just fucking died. Everybody died. And then they were like, and then it ended on Halloween too, and they were like, this is the end of the Long Halloween. I was like, all right, okay, we really came full circle with this. I respect it. But fucking Falcone's daughter just kills herself at the end. Spoiler.
She didn't kill herself. She, it's like, okay, so
she gave up, which is,
they have this long, there was no way she could have lived, because Sophia Falcone was built like Big Barda. I don't mean that in a negative way, but this was like a large
big
woman.
She a big girl. Yeah,
she was country thick. Like, she ate her rice and cabbage.
And did, and will. But
and, like, she was my favorite character, honestly. Just because you never see like average sized women. No, she's also like 7 feet tall.
I was about to say, she's like a little bit more than average.
She was the coolest person ever. But there's a scene where she, like, obviously Catwoman is joining in on this fight when everybody comes to attack Don Falcone because she needs information from him. That's her father. So she's like, not on my watch.
And also, Sophia, she just likes to fight.
Sophia don't play about her dad. Period. You think she's fighting to save the day? No, she just likes to fight.
She just likes to fight.
You don't play about her daddy, because when she's having this conversation with Batman, that's when the people started showing up, like the random villains, and she pulled the biggest machine gun I've ever seen in my life out. And when I tell you, she was going to war on these people.
She pulled two out. She double fisted these bitches and walked out there shooting everybody. I was like,
thought that she was Linda Hamilton. I was like, it's giving come with me if you want to live.
And the best part is she's so thick. So she's just sitting there thick as fuck with these two machine guns. Like, it's not. Oh, I love. I mean, this is a cartoon, but I mean, it's fucking
Sophia
amazing.
Sophia the Stallion ate.
She did and did. But and yeah. Then, okay.
So we get to this. The whole fight doesn't really matter. It's Don Falcone's been shot and she's like distressed. She's taken aback and she like moves backwards. Like, she's like, oh my God, my father's been shot. Like, this is like a mortal wound. She's like, oh my God, he's been shot. And she's like panicking. And somebody knocks her, or I think she gets shot or something, or she gets knocked out of the window.
She tripped on a vine, one of Poison Ivy's vines, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And Catwoman leaps into action, right? She's holding on to the window, grabs her sister, and she's trying to hold on to her, and then her hand just, like, you're right, she did give up a little bit, but it's not like she killed herself. It was just like, there's no way that she's going to be able to lift me and save herself.
Well, obviously, you know, Selena's, like, slim thick, you know, but this bitch is thick. But the thing is, Bruce is standing on top of the ledge. It was like, is he just not gonna help?
Like, no, what were you doing? Also, he was doing something.
This was after the fight was over. This is after they had their little dramatic moment and everything, and Bruce is just up
there. No, they were still fighting.
No, they were. I'm gonna look it up, because I swear they were not, because I was sitting there like, Bruce could have done something.
Or, I don't know, you know, if they were still fighting, or if he was like putting pressure on Don Falcone's wound, but something was still going on.
Oh, I think that's what it was. I think he's
not
just,
like liable for this, and it happened really quickly.
This is why you need a team, Bruce. You know, like, Duke would have came in and saved that hoe. Any of the Robins would have. Any of the Batgirls.
First of all, I was like, the Robins. Nah, we need a full grown, like a Nightwing or a Red Hood, because ain't no little kid. They got to lift two grown women. It's not happening.
There was options, is what I'm saying. But, you know, either way, that part was choices really sad. Choices were made, and not Selena was the only one that made the right choices this entire movie. I just want that to be clear to everybody. Selena was the only right person 100% of the time. But
because I'm still mad that he called her, he was like, mother, and then I'm like, Ronald Reagan.
I would have left his ass. All right, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I didn't want to see her die. So that's,
I mean,
cool.
She's the only one who really didn't do anything.
No, like, she was just trying to support her family, you know, but, you know, yeah, it's going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen. I didn't think it actually was going to happen towards the end. I was hoping it wouldn't get whatever. It happened. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you left out.
What else we got?
So she actually, when Selena finally, you know, walks past Don Falcone, he's dying, and he says, like, Sophia or something. I guess that's her mom's name, because she, like, shows him her face, and then she's like, huh, Sophia. Not Sophia, because I think that was the daughter's name.
Yeah, Sylvia, maybe?
So it was something like that, like Sylvia or something, but something Italian-y. And I was like,
Yeah, that's also the thing, is like, up until this point, they start making you believe that this is Harvey Dent / Two-Face, because Two-Face is, it's Two-Face now, you know, Harvey's gone. So he kills Falcone, which is why they're making you believe that he's the holiday killer this whole time.
But literally, when I tell you, Harvey is not going down without a fight. He the DA. So he's like, listen, I did all this other stuff, but I ain't the holiday killer. There are two holiday killers. I just happened to kill on a holiday.
And it was his wife the whole time. What was her reason?
Because one of the clues, for some reason, because Calendar Man knew who the holiday killer was the whole time. I don't know how the hell he did, because they never explained that. That was another thing.
Was in jail this entire time with his little calendars. What the fuck did he know? Actually,
and he knew that he was giving clues. It was pissing me off, because I was like, how do you know the identity of the holiday killer when I didn't even think it was Harvey Dent? They made it look like Harvey Dent, but I was like, nah, because Harvey Dent is actually kind of a good man, somewhat.
Yeah, I figured it out. There was like one moment. I'll tell you in a second what it was. There was one moment I figured out exactly who it was, and I was like, okay.
No, okay. So one of the clues was that it was somebody. They were like, oh, Alberto Falcone went to Oxford. It was somebody who went to Oxford with him, and then they were like, he was like, Bruce at the end as Batman. He's like, Harvey never went to Oxford. And she's like, yeah, it's Gilda. She's like, yeah, I know I did. And Gilda is packing up all her stuff. She's leaving. And tell me why. She's throwing a gun in the fire. Like, she's trying to cause a whole explosion. She's got, like, her holiday, the baby nipples, everything, throwing them in the fire. And the reason why the baby nipples was because she was with Alberto Falcone and ended up getting pregnant while they were at university together at Oxford. And so they got married. And Don, she was like, you know, he was in line to, you know, be the next heir of the family. Of course, dude, we were so happy and we were so in love. And Don Falcone was not having it. He had their marriage annulled and forcefully had her an abortion. And she was like, I have been destroyed ever since. And I wanted to cause them just as much pain as they caused me. And she went to Gotham and buried Harvey because she thought that he had a good chance of excising the Falcones. And when he didn't do a good enough job, she was like, well, goddamn it, I'm gonna do it myself. And, you know, I don't believe in murder, but I do support... I can't even do the Lady Gaga quote because I was like, damn, like it was such a good plot. I was like, ooh, like that was the only part of this plot that was interesting. Like when she said it, she said it so casually, like, yeah, I did.
And the thing is too, because of that forced abortion, you know, then she wasn't able to get pregnant ever again. When Harvey kept pressuring her for a baby. And I was like, bro, chill, you know, like if she can't leave it alone. He's like, other options, blah, blah, blah. And like, obviously this girl is going through something. So
this woman is clearly traumatized. So mad. You can see in her eyes that she's traumatized. She like, I was wondering why she was so cowed and reserved. Cause I was thinking like, what did Harvey do to you when y'all alone? Cause he was like, they were always like, he was yelling because I guess he's, I don't know, toxic and passionate. But she would be like, what about it, Harvey? Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, dang, this woman just had, like, there was no light in her eyes, nothing. Like, I would actually, this is a storyline I would love to see in live action because I know it would go crazy.
But this is something that would have to have a lot of lead up to because, again, otherwise you end up with a really convoluted movie like we got these two times.
And I hate shared universe, but when I tell you, I would, like, the show Gotham, I thought it was going to be doing stuff like this. And it did a little bit because it did have the five crime families of Gotham, the Falcones, the Maronis, you know, they had that storyline, but it was more focused on Jim Gordon. And I'm not interested in Jim Gordon. I'm really not interested in Gotham City pre-Bat because, again, still a pit.
Mm-hmm. You know what, though? I do love whenever they do like the gang wars in Gotham instead of just like, here's our crazy clown. I love the gang war stories. So this one was kind of fun, too, because of the Falcones versus the Maronis.
Like, I like to see a more I don't want to say a more normal or a more human element, but I like to be reminded that Gotham City really is the only city that could be saved by a grown man dressing up like a bat because everything that was happening there was already crazy.
I mean, all these villains that escape, first of all. Yeah, okay. But then you also have gang wars on top of it and, like, actual
scary people. Damn, I might get shot up in, like, mob drive-by, or I might get got by the Joker. Who knows? I'm not going to the bank this week. I do all my banking online. Electronic transfers only.
Exactly. And, ma'am, fucking the Mad Hatter escaped, so no woman is safe in this town ever again.
Well, I'm black, so hopefully he doesn't take black people.
I think that's the only thing, right? He can't put a blonde wig on you and call you Alice. Oh man, I don't know. I'm a man. I don't even want to be in the city with the Mad Hatter. That motherfucker's crazy.
Like, and I hate to just call people crazy because I think it's dismissive, but like, you're crazy. Something's wrong with you.
Dude, if y'all don't know who the Mad Hatter is, like, that is one
don't to look Google up. It. You're happy you're not knowing.
That's a crazy one. But I don't know. Any other thoughts on Long Halloween Part 1 and 2?
I thought it was cool at the end where Catwoman wanted to give out candy to the kids. Bruce is like, we don't get trick-or-treaters here because Gotham sucks. And Selina was like, we should do it. And Alfred, apparently, he's an eternal optimist. Alfred be out there every Halloween with the candy bowl. Don't nobody come up that long-ass driveway to the Wayne Manor. But one kid came with his parents dressed like Batman, which was cute.
That was a good callback to the first when the holiday murders started, you know, because they kept saying like, oh, nobody's coming up here ever, blah blah blah, and then Bruce was right, and then Alfred was like, damn, So then whenever they got him next year, I was like, go Alfred.
Yeah. I was like, period. And you know what, TBH, I don't understand, especially I feel like with young man Bruce, Alfred would be the only person like passing out candy that, and Alfred looks like he would buy full size candy bars, you know, because they're rich.
Yep.
But my thing is, I don't understand how Bruce Wayne, you know, late 20s, early 30s with children. I don't get how Wayne Manor isn't the place to be on Halloween, because like you have kids, you have to, you know, entertain them. I just think it would be like awesome being coming up the Wayne Manor driveway, getting a full, I don't understand how that's not the place to be in Gotham. You know, see, what I'm saying?
I was about to say that too. I would like, half of me is like, damn, that would be the place, because you know you're getting candy when you go there. But also that driveway is like 3 miles long. I don't know if I'm walking my ass up there for a fucking
but
Snickers.
It'd be kind of cool if they did like a haunted house type thing, you know what I'm saying? Or
fuck
like,
no, not in Gotham.
No, actually, no, not in their house. Not in their house. Wait, they have booby traps. Actually, perhaps no. Not. Maybe stay okay on the garden path.
Because if you go through that haunted house, you don't know if that's a real clown or if that's the Joker over there. And I'm not trying to find out either way. You know what I mean?
That's one of those things that I think scare actors at haunted houses. That's one of those things that's not popular in Gotham City. Maybe in Metropolis. Central Maybe. City. That's a Maybe. Good neutral city for something like that. You know, where they have Captain Kangaroo and...
Yeah, you
not
can't
Captain
be acting.
Kangaroo, I mean Captain Boomerang.
Captain Kangaroo.
There's a whole separate thing. They got Captain Boomerang, you know, that other stupid shit. And you're like, okay, yeah, it's Halloween. Like, Gotham City on Halloween seems like it would be a free for all.
Dude, okay, first of all, Scarecrow is out right now. Like, that is like his time to shine during Halloween. Are you kidding me? Like, no, I'm staying indoors. I'm not trick-or-treating. I'm not talking to nobody because I don't know what's
I'm barricading
believe.
The window like it's the Purge.
Exactly. Not one that has to be his favorite holiday. Like, there's no other way. Like, that's made for him. I tell you what though, can you imagine going to his house on Halloween? Like, he probably has the best decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, because you know they probably shoot out the fucking fear gas at you at his house.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, okay. If you could get a mild form of fear gas, and like sometimes being scared could be fun.
Man.
But with that, I'm just like, no, because I'm not willing to. Because what if my fear is so powerful? Because I don't think it would really affect me, because of the things I'm afraid of are strange. So I'm like, I don't know if like my logical brain might override my fear, because I'd be like, no. But what if I get so scared I have a heart attack?
That's what I think it would be, because he develops fear gas like that at some point, doesn't he? That it's so powerful it gives you a heart attack because you get so scared. Or I might be confusing that with something else.
The thing that pisses me off about Gotham City is that not only are Bruce Wayne's villains, except for like the Joker, they are all like scientists or rich people. Like, I feel like they don't, like, people are like, oh, Batman is just practicing karate on the mentally ill. No. They're not just the mentally ill. They are the highly educated mentally ill.
There are so many doctorates. Yeah, that place is full of doctorates. Are you kidding? Oh, man, we got to come up with, like, a list of, like, all the doctors in fucking Gotham. Because even Harley Quinn, she has a doctorate. Poison Ivy does.
Yep. Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. What is his name? Arnold Schwarzenegger, the frozen guy. Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze.
He's got a PhD. He's a doctorate.
No, I think he's like a real doctor.
I mean, yeah, doctor.
Like a science doctor.
Yeah. Man-Bat, he was, I believe.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think he was. I think he just kind of gotten... I can't remember. Okay, scratch that one.
But you see
remember.
What I mean? They're either like... even Harvey Dent, he's not a doctor, but he is a lawyer. Like, they are smart. And they are great. No, Man-Bat is Dr. Robert Kirkland.
He was, Lynch, okay. I couldn't remember. Yeah. Okay, so we have Man-Bat too. And then we also... Damn, okay. You know, that's a career right there. But even Harvey Dent, that's a form of a doctorate, you know? Look at him go.
No. What? Really?
Yeah, that's a Juris Doctorate. Yeah.
Damn. So
even Harvey Dent.
And see, either they're like a doctor or they're rich, like Penguin. And
Batman is not a doctor.
No, he's rich.
Yeah, I was about to say the Penguin. Like, that's your...
Imagine if
he's got street smarts.
He'd be Dr. Cobblepot. No, ooh. He doesn't have street smarts. He has dirty smarts because he's a scammer.
And good at
he's
it.
He's a super criminal.
I think the only thing that makes him good at it, though, is like he'll kill first and ask questions to other people later. You know what I mean? Like,
period.
Okay. So now, for real, final thoughts on Batman The Long Halloween Part 1.
Don't
and 2.
Watch Batman The Long Halloween. Somehow, Batgirl was in this. She popped up. Oh, we didn't talk about her.
I forgot about that.
Oh, and at the end of the movie, so Alfred gets all hype. You know, he's talking all his noise. He's like, purr. the doorbell rings again, and there's what it was like Barry Allen and somebody else showing you that these movies are connected to Superman, mm-hmm. Man of Tomorrow, and the movie where the Flash ran so hard he ran into another dimension where there were Nazis.
Flash? Oh, no, that's not Flashpoint. That was
but 19. It's connecting DCAU, which is cool. I like to see it interconnect. I don't like live action connected series, but I think with animation it works quite well because, you know, it doesn't have to waste everybody's time. These movies come out several times every year, you know. Respect.
Yeah. Overall, I think if you want to watch a slow movie with a lot of villains, this one's at least interesting because of the villains. Yeah, but overall, I think that you should, if you want to watch like a very slow movie with a lot of villains, this is the choice. You know, it has its very few moments. But yeah, I don't recommend this movie either. I would give it like a 4 out of 10.
And if you want to get really rowdy, TBH, I would rather just watch Green Lantern Emerald Nights again. I really like that movie. I'm giving it a 1 out of 10. I'll give it a 2 because Sophia was so cool. And I like the voice of Don Falcone. I didn't look up who he was. I'm not interested in knowing. I like to live in that moment. Who directed this movie? I'm gonna look that up real quick. Chris Palmer. Chris Palmer. I'm mad at this. I'm really mad. It was horrible. I sat and I watched this movie and I was like, are you serious? It builds a block to how he got here. I understand why he was the director of this movie. Yeah. I just didn't particularly enjoy it.
And maybe he might keep being a part of this new universe they're making. That's what it looks like. He's done 3 out of 4 of the movies, so he might come back for more. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. I really want to see where this new Aquaman show is going to go because I like the horrible art. It's so ugly that I just know the show is about to be funny as hell. Like Teen Titans Go. Like I'm dead serious.
We'll see. Well, at least next week we're doing something fun because we're going to have someone joining us, right?
Yes. That's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Yeah, so thank you for all of your support. We will see you next Wednesday, the 1st of December, where we will be joined by that very special guest I just mentioned. And if you'd like... Okay, so we're actually going to be starting this thing for December because I love Christmas and I love the holidays and whatever. So we want to do this thing that includes everybody where we just are going to put all these episodes out on social medias to vote for what you want us to talk about during the Christmas holidays, you know? So every week we're going to be releasing new polls and everything. It's going to be on all of our social medias like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, right? Is that all of them?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we're going to be starting that on this upcoming week. Yeah, so...
And we are available on all major streaming platforms. And if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find a DM us on social media, email us, leave us a voicemail at 650-761-2629, or join our Discord.
Okay, thanks. Bye, everybody. Bye.